Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When it comes to authors, we have either good luck or good taste here at All of It. When the Women's Prize long list came out this week, the book prize is in its 25th year, we couldn't help but notice a whole bunch of past All of It guests were on it, including Jacqueline Woodson for Red at the Bone, Jenny Offal, who was just here this week to talk about her novel Weather, Taffy Bredesen Akner for Fleischman is in Trouble, and Ann Patchett for The Dutch House. Also on the list was Dominicana by Angie Cruz, which is a story told from the perspective of a 15-year-old girl named Anna, who is married off to a 32-year-old man in a move that she knows is about something much larger than herself. The novel follows Anna as she leaves her family's home in the Dominican Republic to start a life in Washington Heights in the 1960s. Throughout the book, we readers learn along with Anna about what it truly means to have a family's future tethered to the life of one member. For Anna, this means sacrificing her autonomy for the sake of others, just as she reached the age when she wants to and needs to explore her own identity as a person and as a young woman. The novel offers an immigration narrative that looks at what can be lost in the process of making a new home. I spoke with Angie Cruz in September, and I began by asking her how she went about researching 1960s Washington Heights.
So I've always been really interested in 1965 because it was the year that the United States occupied Dominican Republic. And it also was the year where Malcolm X was assassinated in the Audubon Ballroom. And that happens to be the building right across the street from the building I grew up. And I spent most of my childhood looking at that building and not knowing that history until I went to college. And I find that that kind of invisibility or erasure of a story made me really curious about that time. So in order to research, because I was interested in working class women, right, new immigrants, there's so little documentation about that demographic. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I did is I started by interviewing family members and friends of family. And then I started looking at their photo albums. And I found that looking at photo albums with elders was an opportunity for them to talk about things that they might never, ever say. Because if you ask someone, oh, where were you in 1965? Mm-hmm. They kind of draw a blank, or they say, well, you know, I was doing the normal things, working at a factory. But when we sit and look at photographs, they'll start piecing together memories. And for me, writing fiction is a way to take the barest scraps of information and make a connection between what's being said and what's not being said. So I looked at photographs, I went to archives, like at the CUNY Dominican Studies Institute, but a lot, and the bulk of it was looking through old periodicals and albums and documenting interviews.
How would you describe life for a Dominican immigrant at that time, 1965?
Well, many of them were the first, right? So the first in my building. So like my father and mother happened to be some of the first Dominicans that moved into the building that they lived in for a very long time. And so I think that, you know, it wasn't predominantly Spanish speaking. There was a large Jewish community, German community. There was, harder to find the products that they loved. In fact, I started this archive on Instagram. It's like a living museum that's emergent called Dominicanas New York City, where people submit photographs and they tell stories. And one of the photographs, which I actually found in the Dominican Studies Institute, there's a woman in the backyard in New York City where she's saying, and they even have Brugal in the back of the photograph, which shows how in the 60s mm-hmm. and 70s to find the things that feel like home was so unusual. So
I'm going to ask you to read a little bit about the first couple pages of your book so that we can meet Anna and learn a little bit about her. And from the very beginning, we start to understand her story.
I would love that.
Great. Okay. This is Angie Cruz reading from Dominicana.
The first time Juan Reese proposes, I'm 11 years old, skinny and flat-chested. I'm half asleep, my frizzy hair has busted out from a rubber band, and my dress is on backwards. Every other weekend, Juan and three of his brothers show up past midnight all the way from La Capital to serenade the good country girls in the area who are eligible for marriage. They're not the first men to stop by, and try at me and my older sister Teresa. For years, people stare at me, almost against their will. I'm different than other girls, by no means pretty. A curious beauty, people say, as if my green eyes are shinier, more valuable to be possessed. Because of this, Mama fears if she doesn't plan my future, my fate will be worse than Teresa's, who already has her brown eye on El Guardia, who guards the municipal building in the center of town. That night, the first out of many, three of the Reese brothers park their car on the dirt road and clang on Papa's Colmado's bell as if they're herding cows. The roads are dark under the cloudy sky and the absence of the moon. The power outages can last 15 hours at a time. There had been some chicken stealing, and our store had been robbed twice in the year. So we keep everything under lock and key, especially after Trujillo was shot dead, in his own car, after being El Jefe for 31 years. This amuses Papa. All his life, he had to look at Trujillo's photograph along with the slogan, "God in heaven, Trujillo on earth." No one could help laughing at his mortality. Even God had had enough. But Trujillo didn't go in peace. La capital is in chaos, a tremendous mess. No law or order to speak of. Full of crazies. Mama Teresa and I huddle near the house where Papa walks toward the darkness with his rifle in shooting position. My brothers, Johnny and Lenny, and my cousin, Juanita and Betty, are asleep. "It's us! It's us!" Juan yells out in the dark. Everyone knows who the Reese brothers are because they travel to and from New York, returning with pockets full of dollars. Behind Juan, the two other brothers wave their instruments in the air and laugh. "Come, step forward," Mama yells. And soon they sit in our front yard, beers in hand, talking about New York, politics, money, and papers. When Juan proposes, he's drunk, slurs, "Marry me. I'll take you to America." He trips over himself and pushes me against the wooden fence. "Tell me yes," he insists, with his lit breath and his thick sweat dripping over my face.
That's Angie Cruz reading from her new book, Dominicana. This plot follows something that happened in your family, right? Some parts of this are, it's not exactly biographical, autobiographical, but can you explain who that was in your family?
So my mother, the initial seed of the story was inspired by my mother. She actually came in the 70s at the age of 15, married to a man who was twice her age, who is my father. And I started thinking about what it could have been like for her. And my interest in writing fiction is actually trying to answer questions that I can't find answers to, mm-hmm. and I have to discover. So although it was inspired by her, it's highly fictionalized. I was more interested in what could have been possible for her if she would have made more different choices or had different kinds of opportunity.
As you were writing this young woman's story, what were some of the challenges of writing in a young girl's voice about in a time that you didn't live through? I mean, I guess that's your job as a novelist, but I'm curious about some of those challenges because she could be written as very naive, she could be written as otherworldly, but you kind of get this balance in her.
Well, there were many reiterations of her voice. It took me a very long time, I think, to get it right. First of all, I feel like a teenager, so it was easily to access that age, but you know, there's the interesting thing I think about 15-year-olds, and I've been around enough teenagers to see that there's these moments where they seem incredibly immature, and then these other moments where they're incredibly sophisticated. And I was interested in a moment like for Anna, where at 15 years old, she was forced into adulthood immediately, except she was still a child, right? Mm-hmm. And everything was a first, getting on the elevator, going on an escalator. I mean, we think sometimes that it's not, yes, there's the sexual experiences, all of these ways that we come of age, but also it was like learning English, being in a city that was full of concrete versus living on the countryside. So what I did was tap into my firsts, right? And I have so many of them all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. I recently learned a new language. I learned Italian. So I started to think about, oh, what does it feel like when you don't understand what everyone is saying, what does it feel like when you don't actually know what is happening?
Yeah, there's a great part of the book that you really get the sense of her youth is she gets lost. She goes walking and she gets turned around, and the way you write it, the increased panic that you feel for her, even though it's at could have been a great adventure. It took this, she's fine, but it ends up, but you get that sense of, to your point about the first, like, oh my gosh, it's first time walking here, and now I don't know where I am. And everything just seems, she seems overwhelmed sometimes, yet she's very smart. She's a very smart young woman, and she figures a lot of stuff out. We won't give too much away. I'm interested also about placing her in this very tumultuous time politically. The 60s were incredibly tumultuous here. They were tumultuous in the Dominican Republic. How did you see, when you thought about Anna's character, how did you think see the outside world having an impact on her life?
Well, I was interested. I've always been really interested in the civil rights movement and what happened during that time period. And I was thinking about what must it have been like to be in a city where you're looking out a window constantly, because she was trapped in this apartment and in this marriage and in this fate, right? Where she made this promise to her mother that she would stand by this man so they would all get a visa. And I was thinking, what could that feel like to see what's happening outside and not understand it? And really what was happening outside was this huge movement that eventually would give her more opportunity, right? The civil rights movement was about liberating women. You know, it was about pay equality. It was about fair housing. It was about, not discriminating because you're Black or queer and all of these different things. And I feel like she, in the end, benefited from that experience. And my interest in writing about 1965 in this particular way was that, the Dominicans are part of the Black diaspora. And there's a lot more discussion around Dominicans being Black now. But I think in that moment in history, maybe less so. And I was really curious about what it must have been like. And I do have characters that are dark skinned and moving in New York City and trying to figure out where they fit, because in one way they're legible in Dominican Republic in one way, and then they come to the US and they're seen as African American, mm-hmm. as if they're walking on the street in a certain way and not having access to certain spaces. And I said, I think this is an important thing to have in a book so we can begin talking about it.
Yeah, that's one of my questions, was that you do touch on colorism, mm-hmm. within the Dominican community. Even in that first couple of pages, she has green eyes. Her sister has brown eyes. Her eyes are more valued at green. I'm curious, you answered it a little bit, but why did you want to bring that up specifically within the Dominican community? I understand within people being perceived in the majority, but within that own community, the colorism.
Well, I think historically, at least in my personal history, to say that you were Black was to say that was a negative thing to say. And I wanted, I'm raising a son who is half Dominican, and I want him to understand his history and his legacy. And I feel like, a lot of this miseducation about what we are has a lot to do with a dictatorship that tried to erase our history of slavery in Dominican Republic. And it's something that younger generations are now talking about. But I feel like this book in particular is actually launching a lot of conversations between mothers, daughters, and grandmothers. And I'm curious to see, could this open up a new way to show even the favoritism that exists because of colorism within a family, right? Mm-hmm. And how problematic that is. And I think that literature provides a way to talk about it without feeling accused or feel estranged by the conversation. But it's really important. Anna, the green eyes, in some ways, my mother has green eyes, and she says, from a very young age, from the age of 11, already word was around that she was in this particular context, San Pedro de Macorís, that is, it was an unusual trait, physical trait. So in some way it marked her, in another way it gave her an opportunity.
My guest is Angie Cruz. The name of her new book is Dominicana. She will be at Books Are Magic in the Red Ink Reading Series on September 26th. I thought the gender roles were also really interesting because the women are in some ways afraid of men, but in other ways they are running the men. What did you want to explore about gender?
You know, I think that the reality, the statistics show, even today, that the opportunities that women have available to them are, you know, people say this is 1965. I just looked up the stats for Dominican Republic. One third of Dominican women are married by the age of 18. One tenth already are with child by the age of 15. Unemployment is incredibly high. Opportunities to be sovereign are really low. So when I think about gender, I think about what are the ways that women still have agency despite all the systemic challenges that exist, and not only in the Dominican Republic, even here, right? So in the United States. So for me, when I think about it, I'm thinking there's a systemic problem, and I wanted the book to kind of highlight how women are dealing with that systemic problem, the choices that mothers have to make for their daughters, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just about greed and wanting money. It's also about opportunity. And I also wanted to show that even within these spaces of disempowerment or, you know, lack of resources, women still have a way to fight and to manage, right? Because they are, in some ways, you know, the mother figure is manipulating the situation to get what she wants. But it's still, in the end, the system is still working against women in such a big way. So even if they happen to get the dream, which is to come to the United States, she's still in a situation where, as a domestic violence victim, she's not going to be protected by the state, no matter where she is. So then who's running things in the end? Yeah.
The book is filled with so many telling details about New York City, very, very specifically down to the Coney Island cyclone, to some of the smells. When you were thinking about writing about your hometown, you know, for somebody who's a New Yorker, you read it, you have an instant recognition. What did you want people who aren't from New York to get from your descriptions of New York?
Well, I love New York. I always think this New York loved me. And I feel like I think that everyone, even outside of New York, has a sense of New York through the movies. And I feel like the New York that I wanted to show was a Dominican New York, right? So, you know, Dominicans, I think the number is 650,000 right now in of New York's live in New York City, right? Dominicans. And that's almost like in Manhattan, we're over 10% of the population. And yet every depiction I've seen in mainstream media of New York, everyone feels like they know New York from outside, does not depict Dominicans or Latinx community. So I grew up always wanting to see that. And I feel like the thing that I want people to see in New York is that we've been here, we've been shaping this city. We're an important part of the New York City story. I've been named as a writer that writes about place. This is my place. I'm not going anywhere. And I want people to see that Dominicans are here and, you know, and we make up the fabric of the city.
Before I let you go, you had this great tweet at Jarell Jerome, who just recently won the Emmy for When They See Us. You wrote, "Fireworks blast outside my window for you in the Heights. Casting call, 21-year-old Afro-Dominican charismatic male to play lovable Caesar in Dominicana.
Don't you think?
A girl could dream."
Don't you think?
I think it's a great casting call.
When I saw him accept that award and I heard him speak Spanish, because if the film gets made, we're hoping it gets made in Spanish, I said, oh my God, he's 21. He's just like Cecil. And I just got very excited about that. But it's just like what made me realize is that a win for Jarell is a win for all of us. And I feel the same thing about this book. It took a very long to publish this book. I still see in the bookstores that the representation of stories by Latinx and Dominican American writers is still very low. And for me, I feel like it's a win for all of us every time one of us has an opportunity to tell our story.
The name of the novel is Dominicana. It is by Angie Cruz. Angie, thanks for joining us all of it.
Thank you. This has been great.
I'm Allison Stewart. This is All of It on WNYC.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.